Well, today we arrive at Shorter Catechism question 81, our final question for the 10th commandment. And the question is, what is forbidden in the 10th commandment? And the answer, the 10th commandment forbiddeth all discontentment with our own estate, envying or grieving at the good of our neighbor, and all inordinate motions and affections to anything that is his. If you recall, when we introduced the 10th commandment a few weeks back, there were two things we considered, the first of which was what the word covet means. And we saw that at root, the word covet means to desire to take pleasure in. We also saw that desires can be either good or bad. The same Hebrew and Greek words that are translated as covet are also used with reference to good desires. And we noted how a desire becomes evil by considering, one, what object is being desired, and two, the manner in which something or someone is desired. Some objects are simply off limits, period, full stop. Other objects may be legit to pursue, but must be pursued in a right manner. So covetousness then, as meant in this 10th commandment, is, as James Fisher defines it, an excessive and irregular desire after those worldly goods which we have not, in which God in his providence does not see meet that we should have. Then recall what the Dutch theologian A. Brockel pointed out. He noted that man is not self-sufficient. He cannot satisfy himself with himself. He is but an empty vessel, only capable of receiving something. And so he finds his fulfillment by matters that are exterior to himself, both according to soul and body. We have to have food, drink, air, light, if it be well with our body. And then according to our soul, we must have something spiritual and infinite, that is God himself, in order for this infinite desire to be satisfied. So in order to be fulfilled, in order to have a fulfilled life, Abraco notes that God has created this innate desire within us. This desire, considered in and of itself, was a perfect desire. As long as man was in a state of perfection, that desire was directed toward the right objects in the right manner. However, after man had sinned, desire remained, but it had been distorted and corrupted, both as to the manner in which it functions, as well as relative to its objects. So we see the innate desire was originally good and perfect. We were designed by God to have desires. It was God who created our bodies in such a way that our bodies hunger and thirst for food and drink. And it was God who created our souls in such a way that our souls hunger and thirst after him. He designed us as creatures who are dependent upon things outside of ourselves in order to find fulfillment and satisfaction. But with the introduction of sin and the corruption of our natures into this world, this desiring after things that we have innately, this need of ours to seek and to take pleasure in things exterior to ourselves, has been distorted and corrupt. Our desires have become distorted and corrupt, in that we desire after things we simply should not desire after, or we desire after legitimate things, but we do so in an illegitimate manner. So it's crucial to note that our fall into sin did not change the fact that we are creatures who still desire things, who seek to find fulfillment. That in and of itself is not the problem. The problem is our desires are now evil because our pleasure seeking is not directed toward the right objects in a right manner. But why do we do this? What lies at the root of us desiring after that which is off limits? Well, the quick and easy answer is discontentment. I mean, that's what the catechism says, right? When we looked at what is required in the 10th commandment, it says it requires full contentment. And then now we look at what is forbidden in the 10th commandment, discontentment. Well, let's take it just a little step further, a little bit deeper. What's driving this discontentment in our lives? Well, Paul says something in Colossians 3:5 that is rather revealing and startling. Paul says in Colossians, if then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above. So we're still seekers. Seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you, sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Isn't it interesting here that Paul makes the connection between the 10th commandment and the 1st commandment? How is coveting idolatry? How is desiring after forbidden objects and or desiring after legitimate things in an illegitimate manner equated with idolatry? Or, if you want to put a different spin on the questions, are we put on this earth simply to be happy? Is that the end game? I know of a community in Black Mountain, North Carolina right now. The man that I went and visited, they built cob homes from sand and clay. No debt, no mortgages. They grow their own food. And they're about as happy as they can be right now at life, because they have their little drum circles at night and smoke their weed. So what is this connection then between the 10th and 1st commandment? Fisher writes that, quote, covetousness of the heart discovers itself by discontentment with our own estate, or envying or grieving at the good of our neighbor. And then he goes on to say that discontentment with our own estate is, quote, to murmur and fret at our present condition in the world as being worse than we think should fall to our share, or than we are expecting or looking for. But then he asks this, what is the aggravation of this sin? That is, what's the problem with it? Why is it a problem that the hippie in Black Mountain, North Carolina, lives the way he does, even though he seems to be pretty darn happy with his life? Why is it a problem? Fisher goes on to answer, because it argues an unwillingness to be at God's disposal, Psalm 12:4, in esteeming ourselves more competent judges than God of what is best for us, 1 Kings 1:5, and it is, in effect, usurping the throne of God and taking his government into our own hands. Exodus 5:2. You know, as I read that, my mind immediately went back to the very first question of the Shorter Catechism. We're going full circle here. What is the chief end of man? Man's chief end is to glorify God and to enjoy him forever. See, the problem with the hippie is not that he's not living to the glory of God. He's not concerned with God. He doesn't care what God thinks. He doesn't care why God put him on this earth in the first place. Friends, your primary purpose in life is not simply to be happy for happiness' sake, but to live to the glory of God. Watson asks this question, well, why must we glorify God? And he gives numerous reasons. We don't have time to go through all that, but the first of which he says is this, because it is God who gives us our being. It is he that made us, Psalm 100, verse 3. We think it a great kindness in a man to spare our life, but what kindness is it in God to give us our life? We draw our breath from him and his life, so all the comforts of life are from him. He gives us health, which is the sauce to sweeten our life, and food, which is the oil that nourishes the lamp of life. If all we receive is from his bounty, is it not reasonable that we should glorify him? Should we not live to him, seeing that we live by him? Romans 11:36, for of him and through him are all things. All that we have is of his fullness. All that we have is through his free grace. Therefore, to him should be all. It follows, therefore, to him be glory forever. God is not only our benefactor, but our founder. As rivers that come from the sea empty their silver streams into the sea again. End of quote. So no, you weren't just put on this earth just to be happy, to be free and whatever, live how you want. You were put here for His good pleasure, for His glory. But you know what's so beautiful about this answer in question one is that it not only explains to us that we were put here for God's glory, notice that there is a pleasure and a joy to be found in glorifying God. God doesn't divorce the two. So while we were not put on this earth simply to be free and happy and live as we want, we find that in our primary purpose of glorifying God, we will find pleasure and joy that far exceeds anything else that the world has to offer. And it is that enjoyment of God that will ultimately satisfy us. And so as Thomas Vincent writes, God is the chief good, and in the enjoyment of God doth consist man's chiefest happiness. So friends, you may find a temporary pleasure and delight in the things of this world, but they're just that. They're temporary. They're fleeting. And in the end, they will bring ruin and destruction to you. And so I challenge you today, you find yourself discontent with life, go to the root. Examine your relationship with God. Do you find yourself more concerned with things of this world than you do with the things of God? And it's in that that you will find ultimate pleasure and good and joy. Well, that concludes our lesson for today.